From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This. From Boston, where more and more students are dealing with mental health issues in the pandemic, and their college professors want to help. According to a recent survey of roughly 1,700 faculty members at a dozen colleges, three quarters say they would welcome more training in this realm. GBH's higher education reporter and editor, Kirk Carapeza, has more on this evolving story. Hi, Kirk.
Hey, Arun.
So this national survey was conducted by researchers at Boston University, at the Mary Christie Foundation based here in Lexington, where I'm sitting, and the Healthy Minds Network out of the University of Michigan. Run through, what did this find?
Well, it found nearly 9 in 10 professors surveyed, that's 87%, say students' mental health has worsened or significantly worsened during the pandemic. Boston University's Sarah Lipson led this study, and her team of researchers found nearly 80% of those faculty report having one-on-one conversations with students about mental health issues over the past year. But just half of those professors say they know how to recognize when a student is in emotional or mental distress. Lipson told me that this really presents an opportunity for colleges to help these faculty members support their students who are increasingly stressed and depressed.
And I don't mean that in terms of a major change in the role of faculty. We are not, by and large, trained mental health professionals. But I think that these data indicate that there's a need for some additional training and resources that can allow faculty to better support students.
And Arun, a vast majority of professors say they'd welcome more training.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us what you're hearing from professors.
In reporting the story, I spoke with several professors, some on the record, some off the record. One professor joked to me that the 1 in 10 professor who say the students aren't more stressed must be on sabbatical this semester, or maybe related to the 1 in 5 dentist who refuses to endorse Crest in those surveys. The vast majority of faculty really care about the successes and emotional well-being of their students. And, you know, I also heard some heart-wrenching stories. One local professor told me that she lost a student to suicide last semester, and the first time that she saw this student in person was actually at her funeral. Of course, the pandemic has been devastating in so many ways, but I think it's really isolated an entire generation who are stuck at home or in their parents' basements or in their dorm rooms, you know, taking courses on Zoom.
And obviously, it's tough on faculty as well, right? I mean, they're working from home, teaching in person, and then they're, as you lay it out here, this, the front line in a way for these young people who are dealing with these issues.
Yeah, and that shows up in the survey. More than 20% of professors report that supporting students' mental health has taken a toll on their own mental health. I spoke with Michael Gerard Mason. He's a dean of African American Affairs at the University of Virginia, and he's also a psychotherapist who runs a peer counseling center created for Black students on the Charlottesville campus. Mason told me that he worries colleges are just asking too much of professors right now.
I do think it becomes overwhelming when faculty are beginning to be expected to be the sole line of contact, which I think is what's happening in this pandemic.
And Mason and other professors told me they realized early on last March that on some days, they might be the only person from their college or university that a student sees. And Arun, that puts a lot of pressure on professors who have to be the face of their college and put on, you know, a bright face during what's been a pretty grim year.
Wow, yeah, even more pressure. So what can professors do?
Well, short of colleges investing in more mental health training and resources, public health experts told me there are a few things that they can do right now. You know, first, be flexible with deadlines, you know, put mental health resources on the top of the syllabus. Two, you can, you know, acknowledge the stress and anxiety that students are facing right now. I think just acknowledging that goes a long way for students feeling that they're being seen. You know, three, this is low-hanging fruit, but this kept coming up. You know, just simply knowing students' names can help create a more welcoming class environment, even if it's in a remote setting, which can be tough. And four, you know, although these professors are not mental health counselors, they can check in with students, you know, if they're worried about them, and they can try to connect them to resources on campus. It's what some experts call a warm handoff, you know, just approaching a student saying, hey, you know, do you need help? If you do, you know, here's where you can go.
Really important stuff. Great reporting, Kirk. Thank you.
Thank you, Arun.
That's GBH's higher education reporter and editor, Kirk Carapeza. Before I go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. The state-ordered pause on administering Johnson & Johnson vaccines came as an unwelcome shock to many. Ben Rabinowitz says shortly after he heard the news, he got a call from Walgreens. His appointment was canceled.
It felt like something you were so excited for. You know, you waking up on Christmas morning and, you know, the Grinch has been to your house and he's taken all your presents. And you're like, what happened?
Up in Lowell, Tooch Van of the Cambodian Mutual Assistance Association says the Cambodian community there is broadly disappointed as well because so many work multiple jobs.
A lot of Cambodians like JJ a lot. They just get one shot and done.
Meanwhile, concern over a slowdown in vaccine rollout caused by the pause on J&J comes as fresh data from the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard suggest newer coronavirus variants, like the UK strain or the one originally detected in Brazil, are now responsible for over half of all new COVID cases statewide. And these newly evolved variants appear to be more infectious. Bronwyn McInnes is a genomicist at the Broad Institute.
It's really an arms race between what we can throw at this virus and its ability to evolve strategies to avoid and evade our toolkit.
McInnes says the key to winning this race is speeding up vaccinations while continuing to wear masks and socially distancing in the meantime. And switching gears now, Boston's acting mayor Kim Janey has proposed a $3.75 billion city budget for fiscal year 2022, a nearly 4% increase over last year's spending. The budget is padded with $215 million in federal coronavirus recovery funding, part of the American Rescue Plan Act, and includes another attempt to cut the police overtime budget. Last year, then-Mayor Marty Walsh tried to slash police overtime to $48 million, but BPD is on track to spend some $65 million on overtime by the end of the fiscal year in June. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since a new budget and federal relief money, I'm Arun Roth. We'll talk tomorrow. Speaking of podcasts, here's one more you might enjoy. From GBH News, In It Together, the podcast, brings you the latest news on the pandemic with a human touch. You'll hear from local experts and neighbors, doctors and friends, each talking about how we're all getting through these uncertain times together. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.